Thanks for listening to this week's Wellspring Church Podcast.
You know, we should not ever, ever take for granted this gathering. You know, I think sometimes we do. We should never take for granted what it is that we have as the church. The Bible tells us never to forsake this, not to forsake the gathering of His people. Don't forsake this. In fact, you and I should revolve our lives around what God is doing here. We should revolve our lives around God's movement in this great place. As we get into God's word, as we read God's word, my hope is that today your heart is ready for your faith to be strengthened. I know a lot of us come in from crazy mornings and dropping off kids and all the hectic, you know, nature of getting ready for church. So let's do this. Let's pray before we start. Let's clear our minds and our hearts so that God can speak to us. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great place, the church. And Father, I pray in this moment right now, as individuals first, we would clear our minds and our hearts. We would push pause on all the other things and voices in our minds and invite you to speak to us now. Heavenly Father, I know that I have nothing to say but what you have given me. So, Father, as we open your word, speak to us. And may we do something with what it is that you tell us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, have you ever found yourself immersed in a moment, fully engaged in the details of that moment, focused in on that moment when out of nowhere you get a text and you look down and the text reads, "Where are you?" Anybody else? That moment is not a good moment. That's a freak out moment. Because in that moment, all of a sudden, in your mind, you run through the schedule of your day, and you realize that you are not supposed, you're not where you're supposed to be. In that moment, you're in one place, and you're supposed to be in another, and thanks to this text, you have a reminder. And all it would have taken was for you to just simply set a reminder to remember where you're supposed to be. You know, I know that we have all had times in our lives and scenarios in our lives that this has played out in different ways. Because the truth is that we are all prone to forgetfulness. It's why all of our smartphones and our computers comes with calendars and the options in those calendars to set a reminder. So today I want to bring a message entitled, Set a Reminder. Set a reminder. And just so that I know that you're with me today, would you just say that back to me? Say, set a reminder. Dallas, I couldn't hear you. Set a reminder. There it is right there. Set a reminder. Today I want to talk to you about setting a reminder because it's vital that we are where we are supposed to be in regards to what God wants to do in our lives and through our lives. You know, many of you know that for several years now that my father has been battling with CLL, chronic lymphocytic leukemia. And during these years, we've had good seasons and not so good seasons. Just recently, my father had an episode that scared us all. It was a stroke-like episode. It wasn't a stroke, but his arm went numb. His left arm went numb. He couldn't get his words out. And you know, I don't want to go through all the details right now, but my father is recovering and he's doing well. But in these hard times, in these uncertain times, you know, I'm learning to do something, and I'm learning to set a reminder. And that's what I want to challenge you to do. First, as individuals, but second, as a church. Because the best days of Fellowship Church are ahead of us. But we must learn to set a reminder. Why? Well, because we all face hard times. We're prone to forgetfulness. We live in uncertain times. We face a global financial crisis. We have political upheaval and unrest. We live in an economy that is tanking. Yet in these uncertain times, we still have the call of God and the purpose of God on our lives. And in these uncertain times, Fellowship Church still has the call of God and the purpose of God on it to take the message and the love and the redemption of Christ to a world that is in darkness. Do you realize that you're a part of something bigger than yourself? That's a beautiful thing. That's an amazing thing. And I'm convinced that right now is the time for God's people to shine. Right now is the time for God's church to rise up, to stand, to be certain in uncertain times, to be solid, to be a place where people rush and flock to be a place where people go and find hope and healing. That is the church. That is what God has intended us to be. That is what God has intended us to do, to be the hope. You see, the church, through Jesus Christ, is the hope of the world. And that's why that first and foremost in our lives, we must learn to set a reminder. Set a reminder for what? Pace, you keep saying that. Set a reminder for what? Well, I'll get to that in just a minute. But before I do, let me tell you why we need to set a reminder. You know, one of the number one ways that the enemy, the devil himself, likes to keep us paralyzed is through uncertainty. Think about it. How many of you have ever been paralyzed because you didn't know something? Just raise your hand across this place. We all have. We have all been in a place where we've been paralyzed because of uncertainty. And we get stuck in that moment and our minds just naturally start to ask questions and all the things that we don't know, we tend to hyper-focus on. And it leaves us paralyzed from doing anything with what we do already know. I mean, think about it. Some of you are facing a month or two, 3 months, 4 months where you don't have a job. And you put in your resumes and all these different places. You put your application out there. Now just think about what of it have you been focusing on the most? More than likely, if you're like the rest of us, you've been focusing on what you don't know. When are they going to call? Why haven't they called? Did the right person see my resume? Wonder what's going on? How am I going to pay the bills? And you focus on what you don't know. Now, some of you, maybe you're facing a health situation like my father, maybe personally, or someone in your family. And let me ask you, what it is that you find yourself focusing on? What if it is cancer? Why aren't the doctors telling us more? What if it's this? What if it's that? You don't know that. And you find yourselves focusing, and all the while, there are truths that we know. There are certainties that we can stand on. And God wants to shake you out of uncertainty, and he wants you to go with what you know. Don't stand paralyzed. He wants you to go with what you know. And so today I want us to begin to set reminders. I want us to set a reminder for three great truths about God. Three great truths about God, because reminders help us remember. Reminders help us to prioritize our day. Now I realize that for some of you in our environments across the Dallas-Fort Worth area and South Carolina, many of you online right now, what I share today in this message won't be a reminder. It'll be the first time that you hear these truths about God. And my hope is, and the collective hope of this church is that in these moments, as we look at truths, certainties about God, that you will allow your heart to be open to what is true about God. And at the end of this experience, you'll have an opportunity to do something with those truths, to go with what you know. So three truths, three reminders I want us to set to begin to ingrain in our hearts and mind. You know, have you ever thought one thing was big until it was compared to something bigger? Several years ago, actually it was 2 years ago, and I actually shared this story, but 2 years ago, my father and I went fishing at Lake Fork, home of the big old bucket mouth. I love the bass fish, so does my father. And on this trip, my father caught this fish. That's 12 pounds, 14 ounces. That's a big bass. And all God's fishermen said, all the guys know, that's a lifetime catch. You don't catch that kind of fish. Now, my father and I were excited about that fish. That's a big fish. At least I thought it was until I saw this fish. Now, that's a freak of nature is what that is. That bass there is 22 pounds, 5 ounces. Get close enough to it, it will eat your face. That's a big bass. And it's funny how we think one thing is big until we compare it to another. The first reminder I want to challenge you to set is to remember that God is big. It's a simple one. Remember that God is big. Now, using the word big to describe God really is unfair because the word big isn't big enough. It's just not big enough. It pales in comparison. It has no way of adequately describing his greatness, the vastness of God. But it is vital for you and I to set a reminder to remember just how big he is. Well, how can we know how big God is if big doesn't describe him? Well, one of the ways that God is revealed to us is through the names given to him in the Bible. And I want to unpack just one of those names. Just a side note, God is so big that he has many names in the Bible that try to describe his attributes. You know you're big when you got one name can't hold you and describe you. This God's a big God. He's got many, many names. We're just going to focus on one today. Now, many of us have heard the story of a man named David. David, of course, was back in the Old Testament the king of Israel. But before he was a king, he was a little boy. He was the shepherd. He was probably the least of these in his families at some point. And you know the story of the day that David stood down Goliath, this giant, this behemoth of a man. You know the story, Goliath, this Philistine, was out, and the entire nation, the army of Israel, out on this battlefield, and there was this valley, and for 40 days and 40 nights, this Philistine would come out, this giant of a man, this behemoth of a man would come out, and he would hurl insults at Israel. He would hurl insults at their God. He would dare them. He threw every mama joke he knew at them. He challenged their manhood. And for 40 days and 40 nights, everyone cowered. Everyone was afraid. Until David showed up on the scene. Now, let me ask you a question. What was the difference between David and everyone else? Well, the difference is that as they stood on that field, looking over that valley, they focused on Goliath. And they begin to compare themselves to Goliath, this giant. And let's just shoot it straight. If you and I were in that situation and we did that too, we'd be scared. Our knees would be knocking. I mean, compare yourself to a giant? Yeah. You're going to be afraid. But David shows up on the scene, and what does he do? Well, let's pick up the story. 1 Samuel 17, verse 45 says this. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you. Here's the name of the Lord Almighty. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. You see, David set a reminder to remember that God is bigger than Goliath. What does he do prior to this battle? He gives himself a pre-pep talk and those around. He recalls the times that God delivered him with the bear and the lion. He recalled the times where God was strong but also gentle with him in the fields. And he reminded himself of God's bigness. And as he did that, as he came out into the battlefield, he compared Goliath to someone bigger. And that's a big God. And church, I want to challenge you today in your own life first. Whatever crisis you face, whatever hardship you face, whatever tough time you face, do as David did. Put that in comparison to a bigger God. God is big. Now that's perspective changing. Now I want to challenge you also now as the church as a whole. Whatever challenges we have faced, whatever challenges we are going to face, and we will, because the devil doesn't want this happening. Too much life change is taking place. What we're going to do always is compare it to the bigness of God. God has been faithful to this church for over 21 years. He has moved faithfully through this church in an amazing way through people like you. And he's going to continue to do so. I love how Paul describes God's bigness. Paul in Acts chapter 17 says, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples but by human hands, built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from anyone else. For in him we live and we move and we have our being." God spoke this entire galaxy, this entire world, this entire universe into being. He said it and it happened. And in this very moment, it is held by his mighty word, by his mighty power. What a vast God. What a big God. What a great God. And the incredible thing is that even in God's bigness, he's big enough. He's big enough to rule the mighty universe, but yet he's small enough to live in each of our hearts. That's an amazing thought. He is a big God, but you know what? He's also a faithful God. And that's the second reminder I want us to set. Set a reminder to remember that God is faithful. He's faithful. Deuteronomy 7:9 says this, "Know therefore that the Lord your God, make this personal, that the Lord your God is God. He is faithful, keeping his covenant of love to a thousand generations of those who love him and keep his commandments." We've all had systems and governments and people in our lives that have failed us, promised one thing and did another, but not God. God is forever faithful. We should be full of faith, and God wants us to do something with our faith, not to just hold it and keep it to ourselves, but he wants us to walk in faith and move in faith and share our faith. And we're going to be challenged to do that like never before, because the days ahead, the light is growing dim, and we have a call in our church. We have a call and a purpose on our church to make a difference. Church, this is a stewardship matter. He's done great things in our lives. He's done amazing, personal, life-altering things in our lives. We must do something with that life change. One other reminder I want to challenge you to set. It's going to be a quick one. I want you to set a reminder to remember that God is good. That God is good. You know, whenever we experience something that we enjoy, what do we say? That's good. You go to an epic movie, what do you say? That was good. Man, you have a great meal. You push away from the table and you say, "Wow, man, that was good." You hear someone like Hope sing and you go, "Wow, that was good." Well, actually you go, "That girl can sing." That's what you probably say. But it renders the same thing, you know, that was good. Well, the Bible tells us that God is good. That God is good. Psalms 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is what? That he's good. And blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. You know, the psalmist is not just writing this out of his own personal experience with God, but he's looking back on the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God in a nation that wasn't so good to him. constantly turned their backs on him, yet he was faithful and yet he was good. It sounds a lot probably like you and me, don't you think? How many times have we not been good to God, but yet his mercy endures forever? His love is steadfast in our lives. You see, if we're not careful, if we don't remember that God is good, here's what's going to start happening. We'll start basing God's goodness and judging God's goodness off of our circumstance rather than the certainty of his character, rather than for who he really is. I mean, just think about it. When the stock market is good, you're like, man, God is good. You got money in your pocket. Amen. God is good. You got a girl on your side. Man, God is good. If the Cowboys win, man, God is good. Please, Jesus, just please. But let some of this stuff start slipping. Let us start experiencing loss maybe in those areas. And all of a sudden, if we're not careful, if we don't set this reminder to remember that God is good, we'll base his goodness off our circumstances rather than the certainty of his character. Church, let's stop doing that. Let's stand on his goodness. Let's remember what the word says about him, what we've experienced about him. You see, God is good even when your circumstances are bad. God's goodness is not void when bad things happen. He's good. And you know, just a side note, but there are times in your life and mine where God will allow our lives to be shaken. And in those times, what you need to look up for and look out for is what in my life is shakable. If it's shakable, don't trust it. You see, sometimes when things are bad and those things are shaken, you have a moment to look up, and it's a clarifying moment, it's a clarion moment where you can look and you can go, the one thing that's unshakable in my life is God. My relationship with Jesus, he's unshakable because he's good. He's good. He's BFG. He's big. He's faithful. And he's good. He's big and he's faithful and he's good. How do we know he's good? Just real quick. What did he send his son to bring? Good news. He brought good news. He brought a way for us to have relationship with him. I love the passage in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 that kind of sums it all up for us in our personal relationship with him. It says, for it's by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God. You see, God is good. God is a God who gives good gifts. Not by works so that anyone can boast. You see, it's for it's by grace. What is grace? It's God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what grace is. You don't deserve the great gifts of God. Neither do I. But through Christ, through grace, because of what Jesus did on the cross, you can experience those great gifts. But how do you experience them? It's through faith. What's faith? Faith stands forsaking all. I trust him. It's turning your back on your ways and putting your focus on him. You know, in closing, I just want us to do something just real practical, real quick. If you've got a phone, pull it out. If you've got a smartphone, pull it out, just real quick. Turn it on fast. And as you're turning it on, I just want to give you some instruction. Right now, I just want you to begin to set reminders, just random reminders. Put it on your calendar. Just type, remember God is big. I did this earlier. I love this. Siri, help me to remember that God is big.
Here's your reminder. Shall I create it?
She just asked me, should I create a reminder? Yes. I love Siri. You got to be direct with Siri, though. But you got to be direct with your calendar. Go ahead and start setting reminders. Just practically here. Set a reminder. Just put in there, remember God is big. Remember God is faithful. Remember God is good. Church, I believe that what God wants to do through you and what God wants to do through this great church is amazing. But we must learn to set reminders.
Thanks again for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.